everyone, welcome to day 6 of the Association Curly Cricket Podcast on the World 2020 Qualifiers. I'm joined again by Bertus de Jong and Andrew Nixon. Hi, guys.
Hi, Russ.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi, everyone.
Let's start. There were three relatively interesting games today. The most interesting one, perhaps, was the Dutch game versus Oman. We expected the Netherlands to win this relatively comfortably, and it turned out as to be anything but that. The Dutch started fairly slowly. They kind of took a while to get into it. The pitch seemed a bit slow. Myberg scored 41 of 43, and then it all fell apart to Munis Ansari towards the back end of the innings. But
yeah, I think that's fair. The Dutch are pretty slow getting into it. They struggled in the power play. They were helped a bit by a fair few extras. The pitch looked a bit too placed. There were a couple of balls where you see a bit of irregular bounce. But I think that generally they were hurt a lot at the toss. They didn't really know whether they wanted really a big score, and they think, you know, Oman ramp up the run rate. And in the end, they really struggled to get going at all. And sorry, it should be said, bowled extremely well. And yeah, they lost wickets in the middle overs, and then, you know, struggled to 120 odd and looking to hit out in the death overs. And I think the last two overs went for one run and cost them four wickets. Even at the break, 134 looked an okay score, but the Omanis really made it pretty clear that that wasn't the case.
Probably there was some advantage to the Oman having played on my side before, as opposed to the Netherlands who'd been at the Grange, and therefore they're significantly different pitches, as we saw in the Scottish game later.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I'm not sure the Dutch really knew what they were, what they should expect. Saw some interesting selection issues as well. Obviously, Hassan Malik out of the side on account of the judgment on his action that came out a couple of days ago. But Mickey Swart dropped Paul van Maker in, even though he didn't get a bowl. I think maybe they expected there to be a bit more in it for the Seamers. I think, yeah, generally, I think they may have misread the pitch.
Oman looked really happy to get the win. That was the one thing to come out of it. Also, Jatinder Singh and Sultan Ahmed batted really well at the end. There was a few bad choices of dismissals in this innings, but by the end, they actually, their 56-run partnership was really well constructed, and they finished the game with an over spare.
Yeah, I think before we dissect what went wrong for the Dutch, we really have to give credit to the Omanis. They looked like a serious cricket team out there today. They didn't have a huge total to chase, so they, for the most part, went about the chase in a very well-judged manner. Took singles almost every single ball. The wickets that did fell for, you saw, often came off bad balls going for big shots. But generally speaking, I think especially Singh read the wicket very well and did exactly what needed to be done.
And Andrew, this throws the group open a fair bit with Oman making the win.
It certainly does. You've got Scotland, Oman and the Netherlands all level on 4 points. Kenya just ahead of them on 5 points. Yeah, that group's pretty wide open now. You'd think Afghanistan are certain to make the playoffs, but other than that, it could be any of those three teams, and we can't rule out the UAE yet either.
The other matches today, the UAE beat Canada, but with about 2 hours to go, it looked pretty unlikely that was going to happen.
You know, Canada sort of started with Gunasekara and Chima getting out very early on. You know, it seems they either get a big score or get out cheaply. Sort of Patel and Kumar sort of consolidated a bit. Patel scored 45. And then Dhaliwal later on in the innings scored 39. 1-3-2 should have been an easy chase for the UAE, but they have struggled with the bat a little bit in recent matches. They went sort of very close to the tower. I don't think the UAE were ever really in danger of losing the game, but they certainly took the time of it.
There was 3 sixes, I think, in the second last over, which is what tipped them over the line, which, again, that's not something you want as a chasing team to need more than 30 runs in the last three. In the other match, which was at the Grange, Scotland really needed a win against Kenya, and we saw again that Kenya really jumped Scotland's bowling early. They looked really bad again for the first 5 overs, but they managed to pull it together.
That's fair. We said before, maybe we expected the Kenyans to struggle a bit against spin, and the difference between the power play and with the seamers on and the slow bowlers in the middle overs was just astonishing. Kenya took, I think, 65 off the power play. Ifran Karim, really getting into it. And then just 3 more boundaries for the rest of the innings. Really scratchy and uncomfortable there for the second half of the second 3 quarters of the Kenyan batting innings.
and Scotland could say they lost early, but apart from that, it was a pretty comfortable chase from then on.
Yeah, it didn't seem to really affect the Scots very much at all. Yeah, Kitson bowled early. He got a good ball. Maybe he hadn't really got his eye in yet. But it certainly didn't seem to phase the Scottish top order. They, I think, barely dipped below 10 and over for the rest of the chase.
Kenya's 141 was probably never going to be enough at the Grange. We've seen some pretty big scores there recently, and I don't think it's any surprise that Scotland chased it down pretty quickly.
I had some help from the Kenyans in the field, it should be said. Some chances went down early in the innings. Some pretty dreadful misfields, actually, that may have cost them probably maybe as much as 10 or 12 runs in the first 5-6 overs of that chase.
Yeah, I guess when you're losing 14.5 overs, ultimately I think it came down to Kenyan's batting.
No, it's fair. There's more than one thing that has to go wrong if you're going to lose that comprehensively, I guess.
Tomorrow, United States is playing Jersey, which might be an interesting game. Jersey's, the way they're playing, could definitely beat the US.
Certainly, I think Jersey obviously got a lot of confidence after beating Hong Kong, and I think they'll back themselves to beat the USA, who haven't been playing particularly well.
Nepal's playing Hong Kong, and again, Hong Kong really needs a win. They've got the one draw so far and a bad loss.
Yeah, they definitely need a win, and Nepal coming off the back of that sort of hammering by Ireland don't look to be in particularly good nick, so Hong Kong, I think, will hope to capitalise on that.
And over in Scotland, Afghanistan playing Oman. This is a game Oman doesn't necessarily need to win. Afghanistan's been sort of flogging everyone in this group so far.
Yeah, I think you'd sort of back Afghanistan to cruise that match pretty easily.
And finally, UAE versus Kenya. That's actually going to be a really interesting game.
Yeah, if UAE play like they did in the first three games, and I think you'd probably back Kenya to just about win that game, which would sort of certainly probably put the UAE out of contention for the playoffs.
All right, thanks, guys. Speak to you soon.
Thanks, Russ. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks.